Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's time for the Thursday edition of the Daily 10. Your friend Matt back again to take you on this 10-minute podcast journey of ours together. Now, we have more championship fun to talk about, and we have a Braves player profile that we will get to coming up. So look forward to all that. Who do we have in the player profile? I bet you're wondering. The answer? A certain outfielder that went from like totally geek to totally chic. I'm talking about Adam Duvall. We'll get that coming up in just a couple of moments. Now, a couple of things off the top here. News came in yesterday. Not surprising by any means, but it became official that Stetson Bennett will return to Georgia for his super senior season. Stetson's been now in Athens since 1986. He will be 34 years old. No, I'm kidding. He'll be 24 and he will return, which to me, it made perfect sense for a couple of reasons. A, it's not like he's got professional future, I don't think, not in the NFL anyway at his size, but NIL opportunities, defending national champs, chance to run it back. So this one, to me, again, kind of a no-brainer and made a lot of sense. The other news out of Athens yesterday that maybe caught some folks by surprise, Jermaine Burton put his name into the transfer portal. And why that's big? Well, you lost George Pickens to the NFL draft. There's going to be some turnover throughout that receiving core, which I thought did a very good job considering some of the injuries and things they overcame. I thought Burton was going to be right at the top of that depth chart. We know Brock Bowers is the number one receiving option, but as far as wide receivers, I would have thought Burton, along with Ladd McConkie and Kyaris Jackson, A.D. Mitchell, those guys would have all sort of bounced around near the top of it. But for now, it doesn't mean Jermaine's leaving, but his name is in the transfer portal as he goes on a fact-finding mission to see if there's something better out there for him. So two pieces of news at Georgia that were worth paying attention to. Okay, so let me get to the stuff I wanted to start with here today. And that's the NFL draft talk, which hilariously is already, it's picked up so much steam. Whenever you're a team who has been knocked out either of the playoffs after a round or you're a fan of a team like the Falcons who were knocked out before the fun even began, you do start turning your attention to all the mock drafts and folks there out there by the dozen. One of my favorites is from Dane Brugler of The Athletic. I'm always a big fan of Dane's. And he had his second mock draft that he put out. And he had the Falcons at number 8 selecting David Ajabo, pass rusher for Michigan. Now, right when I saw that name, and I will be very transparent with the audience, I've only seen David Ajabo a handful of times. Watched him in the Orange Bowl, saw him against Ohio State, saw highlights of him. But when I read about him, it brought back some not so pleasant memories to Vic Beasley, and that's not fair to David Ajabo. But Ajabo is described as a very high ceiling guy, incredible motor, but also very raw, very inexperienced, going to take some time to understand the pass rush position. He only played high school football starting in his junior season. So while he's got a ton of athletic ability, pass rush moves, it's going to take a lot of coaching up. There's a lot of upside, but to me, that's a hell of a risk at number 8, which brings back some Vic memories. Vic had a super motor and all that speed, but he never developed a pass rush move. He was a one-trick pony that if he didn't get by you with his speed, he wasn't going to get by you. So that one would make me uncomfortable. I've been very clear of what I would be hoping for, and we'll have so much time to really get in depth on the Falcons draft. But my hope is they have the ability to move back. It's easier said than done. Usually to move back from number 8, that would mean typically there's a quarterback that somebody wants to trade up for, and this is not a great draft for quarterbacks. It's not to slight Matt Corral or Kenny Pickett really any of these quarterbacks, but while they do get overdrafted, I don't know, maybe Denver at number 9 would get hot and bothered and want to move up. I don't know. Maybe Washington at 11 or Minnesota at 12. The Eagles came out and said Jalen Hurts is their guy, but they picked 15, so keep them in mind. The Saints probably will pick a quarterback at 18, and the Steelers will make their decision at 20. I'd have no problem with the Falcons if they could work a deal to trade back with any of those teams. They need to amass picks. They need volume. I don't care if they got out of the first round entirely and just had a stack of second round picks. They need so many positions, so much depth, that I would love that kind of a move. Now, if they can't move, my perfect scenario is Derek Stingley falls to them. I don't see that happening. The other option is, you know, go offensive tackle there. Hell, they can go linebacker N'Kobe Dean. They could go interior Jordan. They could go so many places because they have so many needs that Terry Fontenot was very clear. He says, I'm always going to be a best player available type of GM. If that's the case, I wouldn't be shocked at anything. From a wide receiver to a defensive end to an offensive tackle, all of it is in play because that team is such a mess and they need so much to get that thing back on track. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft. If you are looking for a great spot to go watch your hoops, go watch your postseason football, can I please recommend Sean Daly and his great crew at the Daily Draft, downtown Woodstock on Main Street. What you're going to see when you walk through the doors, wall-to-wall flat screens, one of the biggest movie screens in Metro Atlanta. That's where you'll watch your favorite team play. Now, here's the hint. They have a front row seat for you, this cool seat right in front that if you get there early, you grab it, you hunker down, you're right by the craft beer bar, the self-serve taps. You've got that chef-inspired menu with all those right answers to warm you up on a cold day, like a nice bowl of soup or wings or sandwiches or salads, flatbreads, they have it all. You can also find out more at thedailydraft.net. I will give you a hint when you go in for lunch Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 3. If you mention my podcast, The Daily 10, they will take 10% off your lunch order. Again, 10% off your lunch order by mentioning The Daily 10. All right, so before we get to our Braves player profile, my little buddy Brian Hoyt, who works with us on Chuck and Chernoff, one of the biggest Georgia fans I know, he told me this past season, as much as it ended the way he had always dreamed and prayed for, he was lacking in huggable moments, as he called them. Those moments along the way that get you out of your seat, hug your friends, oh, that's a great moment. Well, the huggable moments become less and less when the expectations are so high that going through a regular season doesn't offer you much in the way of drama and great moments the way it would have when you were the 2017 version of Georgia and they sort of came out of nowhere and won at Notre Dame and upset Oklahoma and did those things along the way to the national championship game. Well, I hate to break it to anybody who's hoping for the huggable moment next season. A quick peek ahead to the Georgia schedule, boy, it's lacking. This might be one of the worst home schedules Georgia's had in a very long time, and that's saying something because they have not had some juicy home schedules for a while. Next season, Georgia's got Samford, September 10th, between the hedges. Kent State, September 24th. Home with Auburn, October 8th. Home with Vandy, October 15th. Home with Tennessee, November 5th, which is a red-letter date in history. And home with Georgia Tech, November the 26th. You tell me, that's not a lot of huggable moments where there's a chance at really compelling games. Then you look at the potential interesting games, either on neutral fields or on the road, and you're limited to Oregon in the opener. At Mercedes-Benz, September 3rd, where I have to believe Georgia will be a hefty favorite. It's essentially a home game. 60 miles down the road, Oregon coming cross-country, Dan Lanning's first game. So Georgia will be a heavy favorite, but I guess there's a chance for a close outcome. It's the beginning of the year. You never know. And then they'll play Florida in the cocktail party October 29th. On paper, that schedule looks like Georgia should be able to take care of their business. Not a bunch of drama. And not the huggable moments that I know Georgia fans have wanted if they're like Brian Hoyt, who just has kind of gotten to the point where Alabama fans are, that the regular season is just sort of a fait accompli, and we'll see you come the SEC championship and then the playoff. Okay, I want to get to the Braves player profile. We've been giving you one of these each day here on the podcast, and you can go back each and every day through the archives to hear some of the ones we've given you before. Today, I want to talk about Adam Duvall. In his second go-around with the Braves, Adam played such a big piece and a big role to the Braves in a role that I didn't see coming, because I thought Adam's role was just going to be simply hit the ball as far as you could. I'll deal with the strikeouts. I'll deal with some of the stuffs that come with Adam's game. At one point, we looked up and Adam Duvall became the everyday center fielder for the Braves. And let me give him credit. Played it well. I did not see that coming. I did not think Adam would handle it as comfortably as he did. And thank goodness he did, because the Braves were out of options when it came to potential center fielders. So that part of it was surprising. The part that wasn't surprising, Adam raked when it came to the home run ball. I mean, he always seems to give you the power, and that was on display last year. For the Braves, in just 55 games, Adam Duvall hit 16 home runs. That after hitting 22 home runs in Florida for the Marlins in 91 games. Do the math on Adam Duvall, a 38 home run season, led the league in RBIs last season. Again, it comes with the holes. You get a lot of strikeouts. He is the perfect picture of what 2021-2022 baseball is, that three outcome player with the home runs, the walks, and the strikeouts. But he's got such value to him. His price tag is not out of, you know, this world. Even, you know, the Braves who tendered him, I think the tender was 10 or 11 million bucks. That is a great value for a guy that we know can play all three defensive positions in the outfield, play them well, consistent in the middle of the order. You know what you're going to get. They love him in the clubhouse, and he was a part of a championship team. So having some clarity on Adam by tendering him, I thought made all the sense in the world. And I think it's also sort of going back and saying they made a mistake when they allowed him to walk away the year before because it was such a cheap deal. And I know at the time, the Braves thought they had their outfield settled with Ozuna, who just re-signed and left, and Pache in center, and Ronald in right. I think what Alex is going to tell you this time around, he's going to give himself some plan Bs. He's going to give himself some fallbacks, some options. Because here's what we do know. There's a chance Acuna is not ready for opening day. There's a chance the Braves don't believe that Pache will hit enough that he's your everyday center fielder. And we don't know what Marcell Ozuna's future with the Braves will be. Maybe they keep him because there's just no options to move him. There's also a DH that comes into play, and having a guy like Duvall, frankly, I'd say having a guy like Duvall and Rosario or Soler, having a couple of those guys could pay major dividends. But having Duvall back, I think, is a big win for the Braves, big win in the outfield, and a big win in the middle of the Braves order. If you guys would, go ahead and hit the subscribe button or follow this podcast wherever you get your favorite pods. It'll be waiting for you each and every day around 10 a.m. with 10 or so minutes, depending on how much I run my mouth. I'll be on the radio this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. We're back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.